name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the last of three gospel lessons in which Jesus tells his disciples that he is on his way to the cross in Jerusalem, where he will lay down his life and die, and then rise on the third day. And this is our last week, the last Sunday of Great Lent. I would just like to encourage all of you to make this a great effort, this last week, as we prepare for Holy Week. And maybe you have fallen now and then during this Great Lent in your fasting and in your prayers and in your almsgiving, but we have one more week. So let's gird up our loins and do our best as we prepare for this blessed week that is coming, and which we will begin this Saturday with Lazarus Saturday. So Friday is our last day of Great Lent. And, just like to remind you all that Wednesday night and Friday night we have a pre-sanctified liturgy service followed by a potluck. And then Friday night, after the potluck, we're going to have a special canon for St. Lazarus. And I can't help but say this. There weren't very many people here Monday night when we had that beautiful service with the canon and the life of St. Mary of Egypt. Oh, I wish you all could have been here. It was beautiful. But we have the canon of St. Lazarus coming on Saturday night, so I'm sure you want. Friday. And then, well, while I'm giving you the schedule, Monday night we have Great Compline, and Saturday morning we have the liturgy for St. Lazarus. So, come to as many as you can. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord Jesus, in the last three Gospel lessons, said, I'm going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And each of those three times, as he got closer and closer, he gave more details. And in this gospel reading, we learned that Jesus foretold that he would be mocked, that he would be spit upon, and that he would be scourged, and that he would die. And then rise on the third day. Do you ever question God's love for you? God, do you really love me? Look at the cross. The disciples could not understand. And you know, as James and John said in this morning's gospel, it's almost like they didn't hear Jesus. Immediately after, Jesus says, all of these things are going to happen to me. And on the third day I rise. They said, oh, Lord, can we talk to you a minute? Can we sit at your right hand and your left in the glory of your kingdom? It's like, incredible. It was like they're saying, do you love me, Lord? They didn't understand that at the heart and soul of God's love for us is the cross. We can say today, God, you love me? Just look at the cross. That's the extent of God's love. But in each of these three gospel lessons, the Lord turns it back on his disciples. In this week's lesson, we read that Jesus was on ahead of them. And he said, we are going to Jerusalem. He didn't say, you know, this is something that only I can do. You stay here, you better hide, because things are going to get pretty tough. He said, we are going to Jerusalem. And he went on ahead of them. God sometimes says to us, do you love me? Does God question your love? When he does, he looks at your cross. How willing are you to take up your cross? Do you suffer with dignity? Do you suffer in the name of your love for Jesus?
your love for God? Or do you, like I often do, complain? You say, oh. God questions, do you love me? If we love, we will take up our cross, just as Jesus. You know, Jesus was very, very courageous in his march to Jerusalem. There are two kinds of courage. There's the instinctive reaction in which people will do the most courageous thing you could imagine. But they do it out of instinct. They're really not thinking ahead of time, this is what I'm going to do if this happens. And it's coming. I know it's coming. And this is what I will do. No, no, it's kind of an instinctive reaction. And I'd like to give you an example of that. When we were missionaries in Chiapas, Mexico, this is more years ago than I'd like to remember, but when we were with kids, you know, like here, little children, I remember that one of our missionaries, Jean Meerding, went on a mission trip in Chiapas. He did a lot of traveling, speaking to churches. And in one of the trips, he stayed in a motel. And he and his wife were there sleeping at night. And someone broke in while they were sleeping at night, broke into their motel room, and went through and started taking things off the shelf there in the bed. And Gene, he was a football player when he was in high school and college. He was a big, he wasn't very tall, but man, you wouldn't want him to sit on you or even to squeeze you if he could break your ribs if you wanted. He was so strong. Well, Gene heard that instinctively. He jumped out of bed and he grabbed that guy, and the guy had a knife and stabbed Gene right here in the stomach. Now, if Gene had been thinking, you know, we had talked about that, he would never have done that. Risk your life for someone who's going to steal, you know, maybe $50 worth of material? No, you would just pray, God, keep us safe, get this guy out of here. But that was Gene. I want to tell you that he lived. But the doctor said that if that knife blade had been just a centimeter over in one direction or another, would have caught his main artery and killed him. Well, that's courage, but that's an instinctive kind of courage. Jesus didn't just instinctively say, oh, I have to lay down my life. He knew it was coming. And that's almost a different kind, but it's almost a higher level of courage, knowing exactly what's coming. And determinedly, step by step, going, knowing the inevitable outcome, being able at any moment to turn back, and yet going on. James and John said, when Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. You want to sit at my right hand and my left? That's not for me to give you. By the way, are you ready? Are you ready to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Are you ready to be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Yeah, we're ready. They didn't know. And Jesus said, yes, you will. Now there again, he doesn't say, no, this is my work. No, he says, yes, you will. You will drink the cup that I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Especially James. Remember, there's the three, Peter, James, and John. And Peter didn't like it too much when they went up there and he found out about this. But anyway, they're James and John, brothers, sons of thunder. What happened to James? Acts chapter 12. It said that Herod took James and he killed him. Killed him with a sword, it says. He killed him. And then you remember how that led to Peter, where Herod said, boy, the Jews really like this when I took James and killed him. I'm going to get Peter next. And so he puts Peter in prison. And then you remember how the angel got Peter out of prison. James, this James, drank the cup, was baptized with the baptism of Jesus. And then there's John. we believe that John was not martyred. He lived to be an older man. But let me read to you what he wrote in the first chapter of Revelation. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. It was on the Isle of Patmos. I, John, a brother, companion in the sufferings and patient endurance of the kingdom that are ours in Jesus. Then we could look at Paul. I just happened to read 2 Corinthians this past week, and he tells them how much he suffered for the sake of Christ, and imprisonments and beatings and all this. The Apostle Paul. All of us. And again, Jesus said, we are going to Jerusalem. You know, sometimes we look at the lives of the saints and we honor them, and rightfully so. But we honor them in such a way that they're separate from us. You know, they're the saints and here am I. I'm not that strong. I couldn't do that. You know, I'm a weak person, whatever. It's interesting that at this point, the church has us read the story and commemorate the life of St. Mary of Egypt. This is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt. In our Lenten journey to the cross and the resurrection, you remember how she tried to enter the church? She went on this journey, and she went on it with the express purpose to tempt young men into coming and having a relationship, a sexual relationship with her. She was good at it. She said, I enjoyed it. She said, already at the age of, it was either 13 or 14, I left home. And I found I really enjoyed this life of promiscuity and lying with as many men as I could. I loved it. She said, I did that for 17 years. And then at this point, this was 17 years later, she went to continue that. But she thought, boy, all these guys, all these people are going into the church. I'd like to go in too and see, you know, what's going on in that church, in Orthodox Church. And she got to the entrance of the church where there was the icon of the Mother of God, and she couldn't get by it. Everyone else was walking. She just couldn't get through. Finally, she repented and says, oh, please have mercy on me. And she tried again, and God let her through. She passed through really easily. And so she, I'm not going to tell you the whole story. You should have been here Monday night. She ended up going out into the desert, and for 17 years, the same amount of years that she lived in promiscuity, those are the same number of years that she struggled to overcome that passion out in the desert. She would have times when she would be tempted so to have a relationship with a man again. And she would just pray, God have mercy. She'd pray to the Theotokos, please intercede for me. Please take away this passion of mine. Can you imagine 17 years? And she didn't give up. She didn't say, oh, I guess this is my lot. I tried. You know, I tried several times. And I'm just no good. No, she hung with it. And then for the last number of years, she had that peace. But even during those 17 years, after she would plead with God and beat her breast, peace would come. Peace would come. And joy. Of course, then Satan would come back again later sometime. Imagine the struggle of her soul. Now, are you able? Am I able to live a holy life? No. Neither were the saints.
They were not able
any more than you or I. They called on God. They called on the saints. They called on Mary, the mother of God, to help them, to pray for them, to be with them. And God answered their prayers, and he will answer your prayers and mine. As we are joined with the sufferings of Christ, it's through these sufferings that we enter into the glory of Christ and his kingdom. It's a real struggle. It's a real struggle. But let us go with Christ to Jerusalem, to the cross, to suffering, to death, and he will give us grace to drink the cup that he drank, and to be baptized with the baptism with which he was baptized, and then to share in his glorious resurrection. James and John, I wanted to share this one more thing with you. James and John made their request for positions of honor because they knew Jesus loved them. They knew that. They weren't presuming so much as they knew that they had a special relationship with the Lord. And we do too. But they thought that now was the time for crowns and rewards. They thought now was the time for crowns and rewards. But Jesus pointed out that they were confused on what time it was. Korea, Susan, and I, every Sunday, it's Sunday today, right? So today, after Divine Liturgy, we're going to stop and visit my dad. And he's in a home. We're going to get some care. But over this past year, and maybe it's been more than a year now, every once in a while, or really quite often there for a while, he would get so confused on what time it was. I remember the first time he said this to him, I thought, Dad, I can't believe it. He said, you know, last night, yesterday, the sun didn't shine at all yesterday. The sun never came up. I said, well, what do you mean, Dad? Well, it didn't you notice? Yeah, yes, but didn't you notice that the sun didn't shine yesterday? Well, it did where we live. No, here it didn't. And then we went and asked one of the workers there, you know, well, what is this with Dad? She said, oh, you know, he'll often get up around midnight and go to the dining hall, and he thinks it's time for lunch. And so he figures that, you know, I guess the sun never showed today. My dad was confused as to what time it was. James and John were confused as what time it was. It's not the time for crowns. It's not the time for rewards. It's the time for struggle, for toil, spiritual battle, and death. Death to our old nature. And we will soon be to the time of the resurrection. We're going to celebrate the resurrection 2 weeks from today, but we start our journey of Holy Week next week, Sunday, with Palm Sunday. God give us grace to follow Jesus to the cross. I'm sorry, there's one more point I want to make. This I find helpful. You know, Jesus said, follow me. He was out in front of the disciples where they went to the cross. I remember when I was It was really just out of high school when I got my snowmobile. My friend Gary Vanderwest from Allendale, he and I used to go hunting together sometimes. Well, we went snowmobiling together. And Gary knew where to go, and we could go at night. And Gary knew exactly the way we should go. So I always followed Gary. Gary was out front. And it was safe with Gary, because he knew exactly where we were going. You know, we would hear stories about people in snowmobiles flying through the fields and losing their life because they went through a barbed wire fence or something. I hate the thought of it. And I'm such a scaredy cat, I just couldn't stand the thought of it. I could hardly stand to go at night at all. especially where I didn't know the area. But Gary knew. And so Gary was out front, and I would be behind, and we'd just fly through these trails. And I had no fear. I had no fear. Because Gary was out front, and he knew the way. Jesus, when he asks us to take up our cross and follow him, he's preparing the way. He is the pioneer, the author and finisher of our faith. He is out front. We need not fear. So when we come to the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. For he's with us. He's prepared the way. Death is no longer that horrible, fearful thing that holds us captive. We can go with joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sits down at the right hand with the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.